Our program today, we're privileged to hear the second half of a message that was given by Pastor Ronald Benovolo at a marriage conference held at Bethel Protestant Reformed Church in May. He spoke on the biblical calling of a husband and a wife. Now, in the second half of the message that we're going to hear today, Pastor Benovolo is going to deal especially with the calling of the wife. We have Pastor Benovolo with us today, and I thought we'd ask him a question about this. What do you believe to be the chief duty of a Christian wife according to God's Word?
According to God's Word, that chief duty, in my judgment, is that which God described in Genesis 2 when He instituted marriage and when He explained why He made the woman for the man. And that is to fill him out, to complete him by being particularly an help that was fit and is fit for him. So the chief duty, according to Scripture, for every woman who is a Christian and a wife is to help her husband, to help him spiritually, help him materially, help him psychologically.
Now, you're referring there to Genesis and to the beginning, but yet the apostle emphasizes, doesn't he, Ephesians 5, calls the wife primarily to submit. He said primarily the calling is to be in help. Yet the apostle says submit.
Right.
How, is there a conflict here?
No, there isn't. If the duty is to help her, then the attitude that must lie behind that duty and the performance of it is one of submission, one of recognizing, first of all, that that husband is her God-given husband. Secondly, so that what she is doing is submitting to God. And then secondly, her role of submission is an attitude that reflects the attitude, the beautiful attitude of the Lord, of the church in relationship to her head, Jesus Christ.
So what you're saying then is that the only way for her to help is to have a submissive attitude?
Absolutely.
Is that?
Absolutely. When she submits herself to her Lord and she wants to thank Him for the salvation that He has given to her so graciously and freely and please Him, then she in gratitude to Him is going to live in submission to her husband, her God-given husband, recognizing His wisdom. That's what's meant by as unto the Lord.
So submission is serving a higher purpose.
Oh, yes, absolutely. With an eye, not on that man only, but on the Lord who bought her, the Lord who saved her, the Lord who controls her life.
Well, is there any other way that we can serve the Lord except through a submissive heart?
Absolutely. That's true.
In every area, right?
Every area, yeah? And every child of God.
Very
yes.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're glad that you can be with us on the Reformed Witness Hour and that we can hear the second half of your message. So right now, we'll go right to that. The second half of Pastor Ronald Benovolo's message on the calling of the Christian husband and wife.
Wives, you're a Christian. It's interesting that when the apostle comes to the wives, he is coming to these newly converted Gentiles. Just like with 1 Peter, it may have been that their husbands weren't converted yet. And just because now they were converted and had a newfound knowledge of what it meant not to have an be worshiping an idol, but to be worshiping the one true living God, and to know that their sins were totally forgiven and blotted out, they're justified and sanctified, did not free them from the responsibilities that God had given to them in marriage. In fact, as a Christian now, their responsibilities were greater. And he says, wives, submit. The primary duty of a wife is not that of submission. The primary duty is to help her husband, to be a help fit for him. But God says the manner in which you are going to fulfill that help is by submitting. Now, why does God come both in Ephesians and Colossians and not talk to husbands first, but to wives? Why does he first say, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, and then go to the husbands? Two reasons. One, very obvious in the context of Ephesians chapter 5, he had just given the third way in which every Christian is to conduct themselves as filled with the Spirit. Because being filled with the Spirit means, one, they sing, they speak together with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Being filled with the Spirit means that we give thanks always for all things. And being filled with the Spirit means that we submit ourselves one to another. And having just said that, he turns to the wives and he says, wives, submit. So the context makes that flow most naturally. Secondly, from a practical perspective, no man, no husband is the head unless the wife submits. If your husband is not a head in your house, sometimes it can be because of his nature and personality, but more likely, it is because you as a wife are not submitting. Submitting according to his nature and personality, not the way you think you ought to, but according to him, according to the way he is, the specific man he is, that's the specific person you are to help and submit to. The Bible never tells a husband, force yourself to be the head. You are the head, be the head. A godly man is going to love and love and love. And with his love winner. But the wife must realize that if her husband is head, it's because she's doing the submitting. Practically. What does it mean to submit? First of all, it means place yourself under, to defer, to follow the directives that are given to you by another, to be in subjection to another. Submission does not degrade. Submission does not make one inferior. Don't let the devil whisper or shout that at you. Submission does not make you less than. Proof, the Lord of all, Jesus Christ, submitted himself to his parents. Did that make him less than? Did that make him perform a degrading act? Absolutely not. It's a willing recognition. Now here's the parallel with the love of a husband. The husband looks at his wife and he sees Christ at work. The wife submits because she sees someone Christ has given to be her leader. She sees a God-appointed and ordained head. The best head that she could ever have. The right one, fit for her too. Couldn't be a better one. Any day, any time of any day, you don't have a better head than the one that God gave you. He knew what he was doing. You may wonder sometimes, but then you have to answer by saying, no, he knows. He's right. He's wiser. There's a difference between submission and obedience, of course. I'm not going to go into that. Submission is the attitude. It is in everything. It's not once in a while. It's in everything. Obedience is qualified. We don't have to always obey. Scripture will give us exceptions. Again, I don't want to spend the time on that. But the key that I want to bring to you is here in Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit. Wait a minute. That's not what it says. That's not only what it says. Wives, submit yourselves. Not something he does to you, something you do to yourself. It is a voluntary, a willing action on your part. You know why you want to do it? Because the Almighty God, in an abounding grace, and through the multitude of his tender mercies, is pleased to take a hard rebel's heart and give his son to die for it in order to save a wretch like me. And he did it through his son. And his son did it by submitting himself to the Father. How is it that my salvation and your salvation is accomplished? In no other way than the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ submitted himself unto his Father's will and delighted to do that will. You, so saved by that submitting of Christ to the Father, want in gratitude, want in order to please and thank him, to obey him, by submitting yourself to the husband that God has given to you. It's a command. It's not an option. But even though it's a command to which obedience must be given by decision daily, it's still a voluntary submit yourselves. You do it to yourself. And is that action of submitting yourselves any different, anything more than the activity of the church submitting herself to Jesus? What you personally do in your responsibility to your Lord, don't you submit yourself to him? That's why the next words of Ephesians 5:22 are, as unto the Lord. It is not culture that assigns this responsibility to you. It's the one who bought you who does it. The one who loves you who gives this responsibility. He doesn't do it in order to hurt you. This is an extension of his love. This is what he says is the best for you. And your feelings may be, but I don't understand it and I don't think right now this is the best way. But he says yes. And so you, bowing to that greater authority, recognize the one that God has given to you as somebody you can submit to. So you are submitting yourselves not only to your husband or for your husband, but you are submitting primarily for the Lord. And there's no more compelling reason for any Christian to submit than to be concerned to please him who humbled himself for us. Two reasons for why a wife ought to submit herself now as a Christian. The first one is because she recognizes in her husband a created order, the head. First, man was created. That order, according to 1 Timothy 2, is very, very important and crucial in determining the roles. It sets what we may call a natural priority. Secondly, when God created the woman, he didn't create her next to the man as he created the man out of the dust of the ground. He created the woman. He created the wife out of the man. Created her to be an help for him. So that even before sin entered into the world, God looked at that male as he stood there as the only human in all of creation, and he who had said, it's very good, it's good, it's good, looked at man all alone and said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make for him an help fit for him, to complete him. So he made a wife to complement, to make up for deficiencies, to complete, to help, to support, to aid. And he made the two to be one. Creation order establishes the headship. And the fall into sin, in which the woman played an active role, only increased her calling to submit herself to an husband, even when he is a usurper and a tyrant. But again, that creation order does not make her a slave. It does not make her inferior, but rather in recognizing the created order, a godly wife, thinking of her God more than of her husband, realizes that she brings honor and glory to God when she submits, when she does nothing less than what Christ does to his God, to his Father. The second reason for why a wife, a godly Christian wife, newly converted or long converted, is to submit to her husband is because she recognizes this relationship of Christ to the church and the church to Christ. And the church is called to submit to that church, to that Lord. God hath put all things under Christ and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. And the church fills him. Can you imagine that? We think of Christ perfect, and yet God so created and made Christ in his relationship to be the church that he is not a savior unless he has people to save. He is not a head unless he has a body. He is not a shepherd unless he has sheep. And just as Christ needs the church to fill him, though he fills all in all, he needs him. He needs a church. So a godly wife recognizes her calling to fill her husband. Just as the body fills the head and the church fills Christ. I emphasize this because it is so natural and so easy for a wife to live independent. Sometimes the nature of her husband is that she lives emotionally independent. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a physician who later became a minister of the Word of God, likened the actions of a wife who lives with degrees of independency from her husband to a body which has convulsions. When you see somebody lying on the floor, unable to stand, convulsing, then the head is not in control of the body. Then the body is trying to act independent of the head. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones says that's what it is when a wife lives independent of her husband. It is your husband that you must depend on. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 12, he must live through you. But even as you were created out of man, so you must live as a wife out of your husband. Not your mother, not your father, not your best friends. That's convulsing. But out of your God-given husband. But he's not doing, oh, is there conditions to the calling to submit? He doesn't act like, Who are you obeying? Live out of your husband and husbands. Be ashamed. Recognize the failure to be that kind of a man so that your wife can live out of you. Be there for her so she doesn't want to. Doesn't change her calling. Regardless of whether how sufficient you are in providing emotionally and psychologically and spiritually for her, she must live out of you. But you see the mutual calling, the mutual responsibilities? Don't live independently. And you ought not, because the nature of the headship of every man is not to be the head, but to be the Savior of the body. That's the next verse here in Ephesians 5. The nature of the husband's headship is a saving headship. Let me put it this way. Those saved by grace, saved, are ruled by Christ. If Christ is not your head, then he's not your Savior. That Savior commands you, as your head, to see his headship in the husband that he's given to you. And again, this isn't slavery. This isn't degradation. This is not inferiority. This is the manifestation of the spirit of Christianity. This is what it means to be saved from your sins. This is what it means to be adopted as God's child. This is nothing less than being in Christ. Conclusion. This submission, according to Ephesians 5, is to be in everything. It's a lot more than what you women usually think it consists of. It always is more than what you feel like. It's always, and it's always to be done cheerfully. Yeah. Sometimes it's a cross to submit to that husband. You know what we pray for every time the Lord's Supper form is administered? That we may deny ourselves and cheerfully bear our cross. Well, if that's the perspective you have to take of the husband that God has given you, then do it cheerfully, as to the Lord. The main point is that a godly wife must go to the extreme in submitting herself willingly to her husband for Christ's sake. Second part of the conclusion is this. In that submission, there is nothing more than beautiful than you and supportive that you can give to your husband than those summarizing words in Ephesians 5, verse 33. Husbands, love. Wives, respect. Respect. Psychologically, God's wisdom is evidenced in the fact that husbands need nothing more than what they need, respect. Even if they're not loved but respected, they can live with that. Well, they want love, they need love, but they need respect. That you show to her respect, show to him respect. Respect for his God-given position, respect as God's gift to you. Respect is a tender conscience toward God. Finally, this. I have no doubt about the greatness of this responsibility as a husband or as a wife who's now a Christian. I have no doubt that there is not anybody here who is perfect and has done so perfectly. I also have no doubt that today you can decide, for Christ's sake, in gratitude for forgiveness of all of your past failings, to recapture the spirit of Christ and of the gospel, and to realize that in Christ you can do all things, and He will supply all your need, and you can rejoice in the Lord who gave you the husband that He gave you or the wife that He gave you, and to exercise yourself in that grace, that wonderful, unfailing, amazing, undeserved, saving grace that is ours just because God wanted to give it to us. No reason in us. You thank Him. And don't stop thanking Him. You won't in heaven. Don't stop thanking Him now. May God give us the grace to bow to His commands. I thank you for your attention.